Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. Small Business Consulting To Go is sponsored by AR Connection, automated collection tools, driving timely payments.
This is Small Business Consulting To Go, episode 14, live at the Sleater Conference.
Hi, Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live, Small Business Consulting To Go. I am live in Phoenix, Arizona, actually Glendale, Arizona, today on November 12th with our regular host of Small Business Consulting To Go, Doug Sleater, who's just a tad busy today. Welcome, Doug.
Welcome. How are you, Greg?
I'm fine, but you've got to be a tired little motorcycle. You've got... about 400 of your closest friends downstairs, right?
Yeah, we got quite a crowd here. It's our annual conference for accounting software consulting. Got a nice crowd of consultants who are from all over the country, and about 51 or so vendors in the room that are showing us their products and educating us on what the newest technologies are.
You know, there is a lot of excitement. This is always an interesting time of the year for me because there are so many vendor-based user conferences. You know, specific the CCH user conference was 2 weeks ago up in Palm Springs, and then last week in Dallas was the Thomson Reuters users conference, and now we have what I kind of refer to as an Intuit-based user conference, which is not accurate, but it feels kind of the same. There are an awful lot of people downstairs, and I say downstairs because we're sitting in one of the suites upstairs to record this. But all of these people are here because they're interested in they're consultants to small businesses. They're interested in the 900-pound gorilla in QuickBooks. Also, this morning the keynote was Nan Smith, SVP with Sage, and Microsoft is here, and all with a big presence for their products at the GL level, and a whole bunch of other people. And I know that there's a wide difference in the vendors that are here, Doug, but there's kind of a commonality. You've got a theme for this conference. Tell me a little bit about the theme and what went into that.
Yeah, this year we did a lot of thinking about kind of where is it all going. And what I kind of came up with is where all of the people that really, live in this space are able to go now, but really in the past hasn't been available to them is this idea of taking the practice, the consulting practice, the accounting practice, whatever you call your practice, but taking it online. So the concept of beginning to use SaaS, software as a service, and there's a session where we had Randy Johnston sort of define the term for us of what is taking your practice online mean, what is software as a service,
and, right.
and so we're really focusing on that as a general theme in the conference.
Sure. So you had, I got here on Monday. The conference started on Tuesday. I got here on Monday. I walked into a room with, 130 people in it or so who came early, paid extra, just to listen to Randy do a whole day, a full 8 hours on taking your practice online. So
yeah.
These people are dedicated to this whole idea.
Yeah, and they were really excited about, it's almost like taking your blinders off and saying, okay, I don't just go to the office and sit down at my desktop machine anymore. I actually can start to think about doing work from anywhere at any time, and that's the buzzword that the online products kind of deliver to us. And they were so excited to hear Randy kind of go through all of the pieces of taking your practice online. So he started off with the foundation of going online is going paperless. And he spent 2 hours on all the issues around and the benefits of and the methodologies of taking your practice paperless. Because if you're not paperless, then you can't really be online.
Exactly.
you know, paper is part of what we still do, although someday we hope to not have paper. I don't really
Let's
think
call
we'll
it
ever
less
get
paper,
less
digital paper.
Paper.
The digital
yeah, there we go. Yeah. So, yeah, so it was a great session, and there's another theme that we kind of put into the conference, and that is we're in the midst of this tough economy, and we're listening to the news every day, and it's telling us how sad we ought to be and how the economy is terrible and we should all be depressed.
Right.
So we're kind of trying to turn that around a little bit. At least with this audience, we believe that the opportunities, some of the greatest opportunities are right now.
Mm-hmm.
When things are tough, you have to work harder and be more smarter and
right.
and more efficient. And so it fits very well with taking your practice online to be able to thrive in this mm-hmm. tough economy. Reduce costs everywhere,
right.
virtualization of servers, so you're not buying five servers, you're virtualizing one or maybe two servers. So we're talking a lot about technology,
mm-hmm.
even though it's primarily an accounting software conference. But we the audience that we draw is very interested in, you know, the nuts and bolts technology and how it applies and how they can make their clients, well, their practice and their clients' businesses more efficient.
So, well, I hope that tough economy thing plays well. I'm doing the keynote tomorrow morning, and the title for my presentation is "It's a Great Time to Be in Public Accounting," because quite honestly, if you're not making money in public accounting today, you will never make money in public accounting.
Yeah.
It's this is harvest time.
Yeah, I think that's so perfectly timed too for you to come in and kind of, because I know you do a lot of research, real heavily researched the community of the accounting profession. So you really have a lot of data to back up kind of how we can make money, and so the title of your session itself is what I'm really looking forward to hearing, because it is a great time to be in public accounting. I've always loved the practice, and so I'm real excited to hear what you're going to say.
We had as we listened this morning, as I mentioned, we listened to Nina Smith, and then we got together and said, you know, sometime while we're here at the conference, we were going to record episode 14 of Small Business Consulting to Go. We'll just do that in our spare time, and we decided we better do it this morning, and we wanted to pull someone from the crowd to talk with about this whole idea of taking your practice online, the whole idea of SaaS, software as a service, the cloud, all of that sort of thing. And as we talked for a second about who should that be, we very quickly discovered that each of us, because I said, well, I've got somebody in mind, and you said, oh, I've got somebody in mind, and I said, who? And we discovered we both had, out of 400 people, we both had exactly the same person in mind. So I'm real happy to introduce our listeners to our friend Renee Lassert. And Renee is a longtime technology buff, a dozen years or so employee ago, Intuit employee, and now I heard somebody refer to you, Renee, as a serial entrepreneur. And that's kind of where you're at now. Tell us a little bit about your view of this cloud thing. And I guess first, welcome to Small Business Consulting to Go.
Great. Well, thanks, Greg and Doug, for having me on the show. It's always helpful to share these thoughts and ideas and see where we all think the industry is going. You know, my background has been for the last 10 years. I left Intuit in 99, so I guess 9 years, and started a company called PayCycle, which does online payroll. And for small businesses, and it's now America's number one online payroll company. I left PayCycle day to day, and in 2006 did a focus on the accounts payable and accounts receivable problem, because it's not yet automated. And it really starts with my belief, you know, back in the mid 90s, was that software was a tool that actually didn't really provide service. And so if you think about it, we didn't call it software as a service back then,
right.
But it was, you know, my push at Intuit was, we had to go buy service companies like CheckFree. I wanted us to go buy CheckFree, mm-hmm. and a few of us that wanted us to buy CheckFree, and that didn't happen for a number of reasons, but mostly because at the time Intuit was kind of nervous about the whole service, aspect.
Sure. Let's stop for a second, Renee. And I mean, I know what CheckFree is, but I'm not sure all of our listeners are. So, if they're using a bill payment system through their bank, they're probably using CheckFree under the hood, right?
Yeah, CheckFree is the number one bill payment provider in the country.
So they're the ones that take the money from the bank and get it ultimately to the right vendor when you use that online bill pay thing.
Right.
Okay.
And it is, and the value, when I think about this, and you guys know that my family's been doing businesses for a long time, serving accounts, small businesses, and everything that I learned around the dinner table was, it's service that matters. It's the relationship with the customer that matters. And I think software, if I think about this from a long-term trend, software got people away from service. It's like, here's a tool, you go figure it out. Well, software as a service means that I'm actually back in the service business.
Sure.
I don't have customers unless I do a good job serving them. And serving them is, one, an interface on the website. But then, two, it's customer support. And then three, it's then a product that goes out the door because we actually do make payments for folks and we do move money around. So there's lots of things you have to do, and you're always serving the customer. Whereas software, I think, kind of divorced service and technology and said, here's the tool, service yourself. And, I just don't think that's a great way to it's not a way for me to help customers because I can help customers a lot better today if I have all that information in the cloud. I work with them every day, and we can actually improve things for their efficiencies like Doug talked about and their satisfaction.
Okay. So, Renee, I my column in the current issue of the CPA Technology Advisor, I wrote a column basically complaining that Citrix was, while useful at one point, is now, I believe, to the point where it's actually stifling innovation. That people are serving up the same old stuff, land-based software. You're using Citrix to shove it out and give it to us as practicing accountants and call it software in the cloud. And I guess technically it is, but the stuff that you're doing is truly Web 2.0 stuff.
Right.
Talk to me about the different, what are the fundamental differences? Why is that such a big difference?
I think there's a number of things that come to mind. The first thing is that Web 2.0 has this, generally has a very airy perception of look and feel, right? You don't have a lot of stuff cluttering the screen. You're trying to make it easy for people to find what they want to do. Software typically that was developed for the desktop was designed to just give you all these tools and powers and typically isn't as easy because you've got too many menu options to go through. If it's a service, if it's on the website, we can kind of customize the software experience for every customer. So, example, one of the features in our product is that we have to-dos that go out and tell people, you need to pay these bills, these ones are overdue, it's time to, move money or whatever. We, in our original version of this, we actually put the to-dos out immediately if something happened, and quickly we heard from customers they got too many emails. So we changed that, and now you have a preference to say, I want this on the 1st and the 15th of the month. I'm going to pay bills twice a month. I pay bills every Wednesday, whichever preference you want. If it was software, you wouldn't have the data to be able to do that and make that change across the entire customer base in, literally a couple of weeks.
Right.
So I think the power, the problem that I see with the ASP, the Citrix model, is that the desktop software is not meant to actually create a service experience. And what I think is really powerful about the software as a service is people that are using that as a way to get back to service, not as a way to develop new software. It's all about service. It's like, what can I help? How can I help the customer better be more efficient? And it just, with all that data in one place, it's amazing what you learn. You see when people are logging in, all the different things from a development standpoint are very helpful.
Right. So isn't there, Renee, also kind of an underlying expectation that SaaS software, true Web 2.0 cloud software, tends to be more discreet, more modularized, so that it does what it does well, and I then, as a user, have the ability to kind of pick and choose and use this item from someone and this item from someone else, rather than piling everything into to the same screen and the same product.
Right. I think that's an excellent point. I do think that's one of the advantages of a SaaS environment. So the folks that are really kind of leading the SaaS platform, let's take Salesforce as an example, they have a platform called Force.com where anybody can integrate with Salesforce to be able to help, the call managing or whatever. And recently I even saw that there was a GL application built on Force.com. So
Solution looking for a problem.
right, yeah, exactly. But the value that you're saying is that you can compartmentalize and pick the best of the breed, and the most of the SaaS companies I know of are trying and being very open about their technologies and how they go. There's even a company out there called Boomi. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
Do not misspell it.
B-O-O-M-I.
Okay.
And basically their SaaS tool is they want to integrate with everybody and anybody. So they're not building an application other than to say, you, Bill.com, send me, the file and I'll integrate with Great Plains. So I don't know if it's any good yet. We're just starting to, to look at it.
Sure.
But the point is the idea of having an open platform, which I think is to your point, so that you can pick the best of breeds, pick the best AP solution, the best AR solution, the best GL solution, the best CRM solution for you, because everybody has different needs, will allow for a better experience.
Right.
So I think that's
That's going to get us to the point where people can do best of breed, because right now what they do when they have, let's assume they have QuickBooks, Doug, on their desktop, and they want to do process A, whatever it is, when they find a solution, they end up using it. Sometimes the solution is great. There are a lot of good solutions, but sometimes they end up with a solution that's just plain good enough.
Right.
But at least I found a solution, and because I can use it, it's good enough.
Yeah. The way I like to think of this is, say the QuickBooks, it's a very horizontal solution. It has a lot of features, and you buy it, you use it, okay? But then when customers have vertical needs, then it may not quite match their needs. So luckily we have add-ons now, which have really kind of developed well in that area. But still, what Renee's point is that now we're actually dividing up something like, just imagine all of the feature set in QuickBooks. We're dividing it up into little pieces and making SaaS applications out of it. So I can actually pick Bill.com to do my AP, and I can pick PayCycle to do my payroll, and I can use QuickBooks to do my GL, and they all integrate.
Right.
So that now allows me to think about vertical needs, like, well, manufacturing is one of our favorite ones to think about. If you're a manufacturing firm, you have a lot of needs for manufacturing inventory and just-in-time manufacturing material requirements and those sorts of things. Those features are very complex and involved, and you have to go and find features for each individual vertical market you're in. And the SaaS model is great because it starts to chunkify, I like to use the word chunkify, software that we think of as all in one, and now we can mix and match.
Right. So yesterday, Doug, Jill Ward spoke, and she talked about Intuit's vision around what they call connected services.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're obviously moving in this direction. They have a small problem in that they have 3 million users out there tied to desktops, most of which would be terrified if you talk to them right now and said, tomorrow we're going to be cloud computing. So they have to figure out a way to marry their installed base and move them slowly and responsibly. How is that going to fit? And there's going to be a lot of people using, for example, Bill.com with desktop software, but that's not a problem, is it?
Well, yeah. I think what you're pointing to is there's some rough seas to navigate for Intuit in terms of
for us as users.
Well, all of us, right? I really salute Intuit's attempt, and it will be an ongoing process to get on top of these high rough seas and say, okay, where can we take the world in a relatively smooth way to take advantage of this online world? So they're starting in a lot of small ways, and then they've got plans for bigger things. But the idea of a desktop version of QuickBooks and an online version of QuickBooks, and that's an either-or proposition right now. And Greg, I know you use the online version of QuickBooks, right?
QuickBooks
Online for your
which is a SaaS,
totally SaaS app,
completely different than QuickBooks ASP.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And so they've got, but the majority of users, of course, are in the desktop version of QuickBooks, and they are very tied to it or married to it, and they're in love with it, you know. And so you can't just tell them, oh, you don't use that anymore. You must go to this online version of QuickBooks, because for whatever set of reasons, they don't want to. So there's this, how do we keep them happy with all the features they get with QuickBooks, and then get them to take advantage of this online world? And so you mentioned earlier that the ASPs that are Citrix hosting of the QuickBooks desktop product, well, that's sort of a, as you say, it's sort of like an interim solution to get to completely...
Transitional technology.
Yeah, transitional technology. And there's really been quite a bit of interest in that, and we continue to see it because it doesn't force them to relearn software. If they already know how QuickBooks works, you know, putting it in the cloud on an ASP, they're happy, but they get the benefits of the anytime, anywhere. So
some of the benefits.
Right, exactly. And they don't get the chunkification that you're talking about, or that I was mentioning. So, but what Intuit's strategy is, and they're still kind of articulating it in stages here, is to begin to take data that is on the desktop and find a way to host it more on the web. And they have a product called QuickBase, which is basically an online database that's programmable. And it, you know, it could be the foundation for other developers to develop on, and then integrates with the desktop version of QuickBooks. So you can add value to QuickBase, and then that synchronizes with your desktop version of QuickBooks. And that's a similar thing that they're doing with their product set to what Renee has done with his companies. Now, he's, by the way, he's pretty much, you won't tout yourself, but he's kind of like the founder of SaaS in our marketplace.
Right, he's the grandpappy.
He's the guy, man. He went out and said, PayCycle, online payroll. Nobody had ever even considered the thought. You know, paychecks and pay and ADP, they began to allow you to download your data from their website and then integrate it into various places. But he said, hey, let's just take it all online. And so he built a very successful product, PayCycle. I actually use PayCycle for my business. And you know, I did payroll this morning from our general session room while I was waiting for one of the speakers to speak. So it's like
I'm... But not during... No,
of course, I was listening full time. During a break... No, but I mean, what we're seeing is, I don't know, these technologies, they sneak up on you as a user. And they sneak up on you because at first maybe you don't even feel a pain. I can go to my office and I can do payroll, or I can go to my office and I can do accounts payable. I can print my checks out and sign them and put them in the mail. What a brain dead way to work.
Right.
Because you don't think of it as a problem until you realize that you didn't even have to do any of that, and that takes an hour. And I paid bills this morning too. I paid like five bills, and I just click, and it's done. So I don't know. These things start to sneak up on the users who think they don't have a problem.
Sure.
And
the world is going to move beyond them.
That's right.
And the analogy I often give folks is 25 years ago, how many people used ATM cards?
Right.
I know my parents didn't.
Right.
And, you know, my mom's going to Europe next week, and like, you got to get an ATM card, Mom. It's not traveler's checks anymore. And she's got one, and she'll use it, right? But that's just what's something we take for granted. And that'll be the same with SaaS.
Right.
And I think the challenge that you're bringing up with Intuit is, and this is always what I felt when I worked there, is you have an install base, 2.5, 3.5, 4 million customers, whatever it is, and they're asking for things and they're driving revenue. You know, something new, you know, trying to convince people to do something new, that's very risky.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge for any install company to come up with something new, which is the opportunity for, you know, the smaller companies such as Bill.com to be able to go do stuff.
Well, it is, you know, when there are many, many companies downstairs in the exhibit hall who are figuring out that they're not going to be able to be all Web 2.0, for example, all future. They have to provide a bridge and a way for people to work the way they choose to now, but move them into the future slowly.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about, you know, in our profession, the last DOS text product disappeared 2 years ago.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Exactly. So, and there were a whole bunch of practitioners that when that product disappeared, this is the Dunphy product, that product disappeared, they said, I'm done, I quit.
Yeah.
I'm not learning anything.
Yeah, else. They said, you'll take DOS out of my hands, out of my cold, dead fingers.
Right. Claw, pry my keyboard
away. So they're retired now.
So there's a product downstairs, and I don't want to go too far into this, but there's a group called Method that's kind of using, I think you could say they're kind of using a Web 2.0 solution, a web solution to utilize a desktop, to allow people to continue to use desktop QuickBooks, but almost kind of without even knowing it.
Well, yeah, what they just thought I'm going to describe this, the product is the company is Method Integration. Actually, they used to have a company named Alocet, A-L-O-C-E-T.
Right.
They're out of Canada, Toronto, I think it is.
Right.
And what they've developed is kind of what Renee's company is doing, but only a piece of it. The piece that connects to the QuickBooks desktop product and the web connections, if you will, to the database on the desktop. And then they expose tools to developers, or really even
to end users.
End users, which are going to probably be consultant level people. They're not really the bookkeeper.
Yep.
The bookkeeper won't use their tool. But what it allows me to do is relatively simply, I don't want to completely paint it as just click, click, click. But
you had air quotes around.
Yeah, that's right. Relatively, build something on the web that exposes. Let's say I'm going to just give you a little simple example. I could build on their product within hours. A little web application that allowed my customers, anybody in the world, to log in and change their address in my QuickBooks. They could go to a web place and find their find their customer record, essentially, and say, I changed my address. And so all your customers and vendors could log into the place, and then just simply you give them the fields for the name, address, city, state, zip, and it does the synchronization with QuickBooks. A little tiny example, but it starts to make me see what's possible. Oh, if I could do that, then I could have my customers enter their own invoices or order their own sales orders or, and then when you start to generalize that. Well, wait a minute. I could build a whole application with any number of features, all web-based, that just synchronizes with it.
And that's the power of the cloud.
Yeah.
That's why everything will move to SaaS.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to take time, but
exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I want to go back to something I said earlier, though. I mentioned the manufacturing vertical market. And I kind of want to make sure that we don't over-communicate the SaaS, the online everything, something like manufacturing. I'm talking with Mysis a lot right now, and Fishbowl Inventory. And some applications don't really, in my opinion, lend themselves to SaaSification. So if the application is on LAN and always an internal process-oriented, things like shop floor or something, there doesn't appear to me to be any real benefit of putting it in the cloud, maybe having it communicate up, but really those vendors, those software developers who are solving those problems don't really see the need to SaaSify yet.
Right.
And I'm not really in the position right now where I'm encouraging them to do so. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm kind of trying to see if there really is a business case for all things to go there. I know there is for so many, but I don't think that everybody in the consulting community should immediately say, if it isn't SaaS, it's no good.
Right. Yeah, and all is a really big plus.
Yeah, yeah.
I think eventually it will. Even that example will. It'll be people taking inventory on their phones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that would be cool.
But the reasons are a little bit different. And the reasons are, at that point, you have a reason of security, a reason of stability, a reason of the
zero downtime,
ease of software updates, and it just plain doesn't make very much sense to manufacture software and put it on CDs and mail it out to people.
Oh, for sure.
Stuff like that. It's just not efficient.
Right, right.
So eventually, but the I think what I hear Doug saying, Renee, is that the driving need is not as strong at that level. And the benefits are, I mean, the benefits in payroll are overwhelming.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, I guess the way I look at it is, you know, SaaS is still a young industry. Right.
Right.
I mean, the term, I think Mark Benioff only coined the term in 2001 or something like that, right? So, it, you know, from that perspective, there are some applications that aren't ready. And I think the example that Doug gave is a great one. But if I think visionary hat on, you know, 10 years from now, you know, are there benefits for somebody in manufacturing to be doing their inventory with a SaaS application? You bet. You know, it could be the person who's the owner is going to say, look, you know, I bought too many of these things. I want you to push that one instead of this one. So swap this part out for that, and, you know, we'll take the quality hit. Or, you know, whatever the reason is, you'll be willing to do it. So it's interesting because I think some are easier to build. I think payroll actually was easier to build than bill.com, right?
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I started with PayCycle. So
it's
all fine.
But I think payroll is one heck of a hard thing to build.
Oh, it is.
So impressed with how quickly you had a product there that I would consider pretty full-featured.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't do every little nuance of payroll. Of course not. It's a small business, you know, 5 to 10 employee thing for the most part. But it does it. And
right.
It does it so well.
I think the interesting story here, Doug, is that, I mean, as you pointed out, that, you know, that was, you know, the initial, the kind of the flagship product in our, and now you're actually in a fairly crowded field because, I mean, it's you didn't keep that secret.
Right.
And lots of people, I mean, frankly, ADP is one of our sponsors. ADP, there's a lot of bright people out there, and they look at this and say, you know, we're going to build something too.
Sure, right.
And, you know, and that's really, at the end of the day, that's good for the profession. I mean, you got a great product, but I want there to be other products because they're going to make you better.
It already has.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It already has. And we, you know, that's, you got to like competition.
Well, guys, we have burned up our allotted time, and we want to make sure we're respectful of our listeners' time because you know, that's important, and we're also approaching our lunch hour, so we need to wrap up. We do want to again thank our sponsor, AR Connect. In fact, we've talked to the guys. They're downstairs.
They're here. Yeah.
Had a nice visit with them. And you know, I stood around their booth and watched people understand what they were doing. This is web tool software, right? I mean, this is web tool software. You know, they do accounts receivable management from QuickBooks, and as I watched people understand what they were doing, and they actually have a system where their system will call people, or email them, or send them a letter, or send them a text, or all of these things, different rules for different people, for different time frames and things, and there were people in the booth over listening to the messages that they could choose from or record their own.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, accountants aren't big on asking people for
money
for, you know, to pay their bill.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody in the booth say, you know, the only thing accountants hate worse than asking a client to pay them is not being paid.
That's right. Yeah, so it's AR Connection, and I went by the booth too, and Roger Jens was there. I think he's the president of the company, and he kind of showed us what he's doing. And yeah, I think they're getting a lot of FaceTime with the accountants, and then I think accountants are going, aha, we can put AR collections on autopilot, and that's a pretty simple concept when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that as I go out and do consulting to small business owners, and I look at AR, and I look at the long list of old AR, and then look at the aging. I mean, these people are so behind cash flow wise, and it's all because they don't have time to go collect.
Yep.
They hire somebody to come in to do collections for them. That's pretty expensive. And to think about some, again, SaaS application, just upload the data and have them go collect. It's like that's powerful.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of meets this this urgent, important. I watched in your keynote, Doug, you talked about doing things that are both urgent and important.
Mm-hmm.
And AR is certainly important, but it hardly ever reaches urgent.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's something that people probably shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, if you can autopilot. So you know, if you have accounts receivable,
mm-hmm.
or you have clients that have receivables,
right?
And somewhere along the line, somebody better have some receivables somewhere, even if they're very short-lived.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have someone, I would certainly encourage you to take a look at AR Connection. It's arconnection.com, mm-hmm. and the guys at AR Connection will be happy to tell you what they do and explain it. Just go over and tell them that you listen to Doug Slater in Small Business Consulting to Go, and you're interested in what they've got, and whether you happen to use them or not, we certainly appreciate the plug, and we appreciate Roger continuing to help us stay on the air and bring you Small Business Consulting to Go. So that's a wrap. Renee Lassert, I want to thank you so very much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Happy to be here. It's always an interesting conversation.
Doug, I know you've got a lot of things to do and people to see, so thanks again for your time. We will be back with all of you next month. You probably noticed that we didn't announce a date, and that's simply because we haven't selected one. We will probably put it in the show notes, and it'll be up on TalkShoe. So if you'd like to join us, you're certainly welcome to do so. So with that, everybody have a good day, and thanks so very much for joining us. This has been Small Business Consulting to Go, Episode 14, recorded live at the Slater Conference.
For information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcast, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.